Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NOCIL Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. V.S. Anand, Managing Director of NOCIL Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, and a very warm welcome to everyone present at the call. Just before I get into the call, I would like to yesterday, Mr. Sudhir Dev, our Managing Director, retired, so I'd like to take this opportunity to place on record our appreciation for his efforts and contributions to the AMG Group, the Arvind Mafatlal Group, for the last 45 years. With that, along with me, I have Mr. P. Srinivasan, our Chief Financial Officer, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. Hope you all have received our investor presentation by now. For those who have not, you can view them on the stock exchanges and the company website. Let me begin by providing an overview of the company's overall performance during quarter one financial year 2024. In quarter one financial year 2024, the company achieved stable sequential results in terms of both volumes and realization parameters, generating a total revenue of 397 crore. The volumes in the domestic market marginally improved. The company experienced decline in export volumes, which can be attributed largely to the global recessionary trends coupled with a bit of inventory unwinding. We are closely monitoring the global economic conditions and continue to take appropriate actions to navigate through the challenges. As stated in our earlier calls, we continue to engage with our key domestic and international tire customers to strategize our steps and consolidate our business. In this connection, we have started providing samples of our products to the additional so that we can get approvals at the additional sites. We are confident that business opportunities arising out of these discussions have started fructifying and will continue to fructify in the upcoming quarters. Over the last few quarters, while we see the contribution of latex volumes in the export, overall export volumes has reduced, this has been adequately compensated by increase in volumes with tire customers. Now, quickly on the industry scenario, while the domestic market continues to be quite robust, in the international markets, the Asian and American markets have been holding up. The European tire manufacturers are facing challenges with continued degrowth due to weak demand, creating a difficult market environment. Due to the muted demand in the domestic Chinese market, the Chinese manufacturers are resorting to aggressive pricing in the international markets. As mentioned in our earlier call, our endeavor has always been, under these given circumstances, to continue to increase our volumes and grow our market share. Despite these short-term challenges, we are positive about the medium to long-term perspective for both the domestic and international markets. As per the recent research reports, the Indian tire industry is expected to increase from $9 billion to $22 billion over the next 9-10 years. The primary reason for the growth is in the Indian tire industry being increasing demand for new vehicles and continued government investments in infrastructure. Our domestic and international market approaches will lay our path to achieve our long-term vision of doubling our market share. That is it from my side for now. I will hand over to Mr. P. Srinivasan to give you an update on the financial performance.
Thank you, Mr. Anand, and good afternoon to everyone. Now, let me take you through the consolidated financial highlights. If you see the investor presentation, which is uploaded on the website, sales volume for Q1 FY24 on index basis is 133, taking a base of Q1 FY20 as 100. On the revenue front, net revenue from operations for Q1 FY24 stood at 397 crore, as against 393 crores in Q4 FY23, a flattish growth of 1%. On the selling price front, marginally improved 2% on QOQ basis. Volumes for Q1 FY24 have shown a marginal degrowth of 2% on QOQ basis, largely due to export volumes. Operating EBITDA for Q1 FY24 stood at 55 crores as against 50 crores for Q4 FY24, QOQ growth of 1%. EBITDA margin for Q1 FY24 stood at 14% as compared to 12.7% in Q4 FY23. Coming to the profit tax parameters, profit before tax for Q1 FY24 stood at 46 crores as compared to 39 crores in Q4 FY23, a QOQ growth of 22%. Profit after tax for Q1 FY24 stood at 34 crores as compared to 28 crores for Q4 FY23, a QOQ for 21%. With this, we would like to open the floor for question answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I have two questions to ask. So, the first is on our annual report. So, in one of the pages of the annual report, we have written that company promotes the sale of high quality and high value specialty products in the export market, which contributes significantly to our sales and margins. So just wanted to understand the thought process bit more on this, that when we say specialty, how we define this specialty? So let's say on parameters of margins where such specialty products give us some 15-20% higher per kg margins, or let's say the competition is very difficult to get into these products and we can see the product level of dominance of NOSIL into those products. And if you can share that, what percentage of this high quality and high value specialty products forms overall part of our volumes? So this is question number one.
Yeah. Both the points that you made are correct when you actually say what is a specialty and how do you define a specialty. One is that it has an incremental margin compared to a non-specialty product. At the same time, it also commands value with the customer. That means it's not price elastic versus volume elastic. So that means it doesn't move with price and volume. So from that point of view, it is a specialty. Not only from the margin point of view, but also from the value added to the customer. Yeah.
Okay.
And your follow-up on that, so roughly about close to 20 to 25% of our business is considered as a specialty.
Got it. But
we would like to just clarify, this is basically some of these products are specialized applications, which essentially means that it is not a regular product in the regular rubber chemicals category or tire industry. So therefore, there could be some specialized application which may be consumed by tire industry as well as non-tire industry, but not all customers are consuming this product. That's why it is called as specialized applications.
Correct. And so suffice to assume that this 20 to 25% of the product, what you mentioned, is the volume part you are telling and not the value. Let's say out of our total volumes, 20 to 25% is the specialized volumes. Is it correct to assume?
20 to 25% is specialized application volumes.
Correct. And so just to extend a bit more on this, so out of this, let's say 20 to 25% of the volumes, whatever degrowth we are currently seeing, probably some portion of, I think, latex would be also forming the part of this 20 to 25% of volume. So, has these volumes over the last 2-3 years have grown for us, ex-latex? If you can highlight some bit of understanding there.
If I split into two parts, if you look at latex and non-latex, on the non-latex front we have grown. On the latex front, because of the market conditions, there is a challenge. We are degrown.
Correct. The second question is on the opening remarks of Mr. Anandar. We have been alluding the fact that we aspire to double our world market share. So I think one of the key variable what he mentioned is that we have already sent the samples. Those samples are already approved and more approvals are also coming from the customers. So one is definitely the approval part, which play a very critical role in growing our volumes. But let's say from now to reaching full utilization, whenever we will achieve those higher volumes, what more needs to be done internally by the management to achieve this growth target? Because something has to be built up even internally also so that we keep on adding those incremental volumes to our kitty. If you can share your views, sir.
At this point, I think from an internal manufacturing perspective, we are fully geared to meet the volumes required to achieve our full capacities and meet the requirements of our customers. I think it's only a matter of time that it takes. I think every customer has their own time period depending on the urgency and how they see it. So it takes varying amounts of time. As we said, from a few months could take slightly longer. But we are at different stages. All the efforts are in place, and also from a organizational point of view, we are pretty much equipped to be able to handle these requirements.
But sir, just to add, like, do we need to open up more distribution networks in the export markets, which would help us to penetrate more deeper into those markets, or any sort of qualitative aspects, if you can throw light upon?
A lot of the growth, while it will come from our tire customers who we handle directly, and we already have established relationships and established supply chains for quite some years now, so that's already an added advantage. On the other hand, we also have established indirect channels in the different parts of the world. So nearly all the key markets, we have our own indirect channels which have already been supplying products for some years, and they are kind of still very active in those markets.
Got it, sir. Yeah, thank you so much, sir, for answering the questions in detail, and I'll join back in the queue. All the best.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Giri Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible? Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So my first question is, if you can share what has been the capacity utilization for the quarter and exports and domestic revenue mix?
Capacity utilization for the quarter is about 63% to 65%. As far as the domestic export parameters, I think it could be in the region of 30-31% for exports and 69% domestic.
Okay. Sir, the other question is on the employee cost. So if I look at over a two-year period, from a 20 crore quarterly run rate, we are at 25 crore now for the current quarter. So over this period, is there any large spend towards hiring more senior level employee or more R&D people? Because the revenue growth is the employee cost growth is higher than the revenue growth.
Dhaval, I think we would like to clarify here. If you see the quarter ended June also, the employee cost was in the region of 23.2 crores and this quarter is 23.6 crores. So typically in the month of the quarter ended June, being the first quarter where the increments are dispersed, and there are some retirement provisions associated with that. So that gets loaded in the first quarter as per the actual valuation report in terms of the applicable Indian accounting standards. And subsequently, the subsequent quarters are on the lower end. So it flattens out over a period of time. So I feel there are some new recruits which is not so critical, but some new recruits have taken place, and that's an ongoing process. There will be some retirements, there will be some separation, and there will be some fresh recruitment. So nothing major has been substantially added to the kitty.
Okay, sir. Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Ketan from Smith's Institutional. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is that Anand sir has alluded in his opening remarks that since the Chinese demand is weak, so they are resorting to international markets. So that is putting pressure on margins and spreads. But sir, our quarter number doesn't reflect the same. On quarter-on-quarter basis, our gross and EBITDA spreads have also improved. And realizations also hasn't dipped so significantly. So any like, are we not facing that competition from Chinese imports yet or we would see in the subsequent quarters this impact?
So this is so while this phenomenon of the Chinese aggressive pricing has been underway over the last couple of months, we start to see it even more actively in the recent weeks and a month or so. So I think that is something that we see because I think everyone expected also that the Chinese economy will pick up and there will be demand, but that has not happened the way it's expected. So we see that these volumes are largely coming to the international markets and more specifically also to India.
Okay, so sir, so there would be downside risks to the numbers also from this quarter in the coming quarters then?
Volumes are expected to be around very similar levels.
Yeah.
The pricing, we are kind of also looking at how it develops over the next couple of months. Yeah.
Okay. And so this Chinese imports, so what we understand, so 55% imports is from China only, and they have also expanded their capacity. So China Sunshine has also recently expanded. So the imports quantum, which was like for the last 5-6 years, which they are importing, now that quantum also would increase of imports. And is there any chance of losing market share by NOSIL going ahead?
So that has not happened currently. So actually, we see that they seem to be around that similar ranges of imports. There could be maybe a short period, a bit of fluctuation here and there, but on an average, there is not a significant increase.
Okay. And sir, any timeline so when we can reach the peak utilization?
So we had indicated a time frame in the past, and I think given the uncertain external environment, it would be very difficult to put a finger on a precise timeline.
So the line for the current participant has dropped. May we move to the next question? Our next question is from the line of Deepan Sankara Narayanan from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. So continuing with the past participant question, so are we seeing dumping or are we forcing dumping by Chinese players in domestic market as well?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we are seeing aggressive pricing. Now whether it's really dumping or not, would I put that that we'll have to see over the next few weeks. Yeah, but there is aggressive pricing that we see.
Okay. So this pricing levels, so the previous lows, will it go to that extent, or we don't foresee the pricing to touch that kind of lows in recent terms?
Which period are you referring to, please?
I think past 2 years, we have touched a very low pricing.
Yeah. Not to those levels.
Okay. And even in case if this dumping increases, is there higher chances that we will again reach to the government to implement our anti-dumping duty on Chinese players?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we would examine the case over a defined period of there's a statutory period of 6 months, 1 year, etc. And there are certain guidelines and parameters on the injury as well as dumping parameters. In case we meet those conditions, or if we are able to satisfy those conditions over a period, sustained period of time, then only the action of filing etc. will come in. So it's very premature to talk about initiating a dumping resolution today. it's more of a market development which has happened recent last couple of months, or this month is more aggressive. So today it's a little premature to talk about it.
Okay, okay, sir. And finally, from my side, so the export mix again on the lower side. So are we expecting next few quarters this export mix from here on it will start improving further?
Yes, we do expect that.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Mr. Damodaran from Aquitas Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Just one question from my side. So just wanted to understand this drop in exports better. So is it that our share of latex in overall exports is significantly higher than the industry's share of latex, and that's what has impacted us? Given that this trend of destocking has been happening over the past year. So just wanted to understand on exports a bit better. Thanks.
We did have a higher market share in the latex market, especially in Southeast Asia. And it also peaked during the COVID, so all of us know the usage of surgical gloves at that time. And post that, it has significantly dropped. At the same time, there is also Chinese competition in the market. So these are some of the reasons that both a volume drop as well as strong competition in the market.
So could you quantify the overall exports share of latex and how it went from that company industry?
So your voice is breaking, but I shall hazard a guess. So what you asked. So the overall share is about 10 to 15%.
15% of export volumes.
Of the export volumes, that's right.
Sorry, Mr. Damodaran,
your voice is breaking.
Your line is not clear, sir. May we request you to use the handset, please?
Yeah, actually, I am.
No, sir, we are unable to hear you, sir.
Mr. Damodaran, your line is not clear, sir.
May we request you to rejoin the queue for your follow up questions, please?
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Ankit from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, before giving me opportunity. So I have two questions. So how the China Plus One is panning out?
Yeah, so I would say it's positively panning out at this point in time. Like we have just, I think one of the earlier questions responded that we continue to gain approvals and it's in the positive direction.
So if you can quantify something.
I think when you look at also in slide number 29 of our investor presentation, we have also indicated how that's also been panning out in terms of volumes, as how that's developed from 2020 in the last 4 years. So 100 on an index basis going up to 126. So
that is flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes. Have you?
Yeah. Any margin outlook for next 2 or 3 years?
Margin outlook for the next 2 or 3 years.
Can we see a margin improvement going forward to our peak level of around 20-25%?
What we can say from here where we are operating today, I think the volume improvement is definitely on the cards and we will see volume growth. Margin is something which we would not like to speculate today because it depends on the market situation and we don't wish to give specific number guidance on margins.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mr. Bhargav Buddhadev from Kotak Mutual Funds. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned doubling of market share globally. So just wanted to check that is our existing portfolio catering to that requirement, or do we need to add more products, especially on the specialty side, to achieve that goal of doubling market share?
Our existing portfolio itself, we are specifically referring to that, and is sufficient to be able to achieve those growth in market share. We've not factored in any new specific products at this point.
And which geography would contribute to sort of NOSIL looking at incrementally gaining market share?
So it's across. Yeah. So I would put it. We've got opportunities in Asia. We've got it in Europe, and also to a certain extent in the US also. Yeah.
Okay. So large part will come mainly from Southeast Asia and Europe, and not US.
US also, because there still we have a much lower presence, and we have an opportunity to grow that here.
Okay. Understood. Secondly, sir, if I look at other suppliers to tire companies like bead wire suppliers as well, they are also seeing a significant expansion in their capacity. So in your opening remarks also, you alluded to tire industry growing in India. So is it mainly to cater to domestic demand, or do you think they are also setting up capacities for exports?
So it's largely to cater to domestic demand, is my assumption. But they also have export plans. We have seen the tire industry, Indian tire industry exports go up in the last 12 to 18 months, kind of moderated in the last few months due to the global situation. But I think there will be growth on both fronts, but largely in the domestic is my assumption.
But fair to say that share of exports could sort of double from here on for tire companies in India. I mean, when you talk to your customers, right now share is close to about 12-15%.
Would be difficult to comment on that, Bhargav. Yeah.
Okay. And lastly, sir, is it possible to quantify what is the export growth for non-latex and what is the decline in latex? And that would be my final question.
So export. So there is, it's kind of, if you would put a index, right, for the latex, we could say if you take the period of January 22, on a June 22 for, on an index of 100, probably June 23, we are at about 44. And for the non-latex part of the business, if the same was considered June, or was about 100, then we're about 115 to 120.
So latex is down almost 56% YOY is what you're saying.
Correct. That's right.
And non-latex is up almost 15%. This is volumes,
yeah.
Right? Volume, right?
Volume. That's right, volume.
Great. Thank you. And all the best as your new role, sir.
Thank you, Bhargav. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from Smith's Institutional. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, on to the product approval side, if you can, sir, quantify some timeline as to like how much products we are getting approved and what would be the timeline exactly, like the customer is approving the same, so we can garner additional volumes. So particularly from which quarter or particularly from which month are we getting that approval?
So these are multiple customers, Aditya. So you actually look at some of them have already approved new sites in the last 4-5 months to 6 months. Some are in the process, some samples are reached, some commercial lots have gone. So they're all at different stages, but typically on an average, it can take, if you're already supplying to the other sites, then it can take anywhere between 3, 6, 7, 8 months. That's typically the time frame.
6 to 8 months. Okay. And sir, onto the imports part, since you have stated that we are witnessing a competition from imports, so is there any chance or NOSIL will represent to the government on anti-dumping duty case, so to levy the anti-dumping duty, or any such thing is on the cards?
Srini, you'd like to?
Gentlemen, I think we just answered this question few minutes back. Basically, what we are trying to say is this is the recent development the market is showing, the aggressive price pressures, etc. At this stage, it's too short a period for the anti-dumping authorities to evaluate. It needs to be seen over a sustained period of, say, 6 months to 1 year. And thereafter, there are certain injury parameters, dumping parameters as per the stipulated norms of the government. Only if we pass this, we can file a petition. So you need to suffer an injury for a sustained period of 6 to 12 months.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Nagaraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats for the new role, sir. My first question is on the non-tire or non-auto applications. So we've been working on R&D to work on specialty chemicals with the application for non-auto segment. Any progress on that front and any timelines that we will have commercial products coming from that particular projects or those products? Thank you.
Yeah, so, Rohit, I'm not sure. So I think yeah, the product that we're working on or even indigenizing that we mentioned in the last maybe couple of calls were largely focused on the tire, import substitutions, developing them locally and substituting imports. Those volumes, have, we're getting some initial approvals, but the volumes are not very big. It's kind of complementary to our portfolio and supports our domestic customers towards more localization. Other innovation and development that we are working on is still ongoing. It will still take some time. Yeah.
Oh, sure. And second question is that we understand that there have been some new tire capacities coming up in Thailand. So any opportunity for us to tap that particular market, given that Thailand is having it's nearer to the raw material or rubber source?
Yeah, so we already supply quite sizable quantities to the Thailand market, and we continue. So many of our global tire customers have their plants, and they're also expanding in Thailand. So we see that is also an opportunity for us to grow.
Sure. Thank you so much, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Rohit. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. So I have one question and two follow-ups. So one, so you mentioned in my earlier question that we have received approvals, we have been trying to grow our volumes. But let's say, assuming that the world market doesn't grow for next 1 year and remains flat, based on the challenges what we are seeing globally, can we still grow our volumes based on the initiatives which we have taken over past few months, years, in terms of product approvals, building up the capabilities to sell those volumes? So if you can share your views.
Yes, Peter, you're right about the challenging environment, but we are optimistic and positive that while the overall volumes may not grow, we are looking to substitute existing shares with customers so we can still gain some foothold and grow even in a challenging environment,
hopefully. That's very heartening to hear, sir, because in a situation where China has become so much aggressive, and considering the fact that if world market remains flat and still we are able to grow those volumes, that's really appreciated. So second follow-up is you mentioned that our capacity utilization is 63-65%. So does it also consider the debottlenecking which we have undertook in FY23 and some which is currently ongoing also? So does those utilization is based on those increased capacities?
Partially, partially. Some of it is commissioned, some of it is yet to be commissioned. I think that will be happening during this year. So it's a something is commissioned, something is yet to be commissioned.
Got it. But then it considers those extra volumes adding to our capacity.
Expanded little bit capacities, whatever you mean, the small numbers.
Got it. And sir, last bit of follow-up is you mentioned that latex forms close to 10 to 15% of our export volumes or our total volumes?
Export volumes.
Okay, okay. So it's just 10 to 15% of our total exports what we do in a year.
Yeah.
And which has degrown by 56%. Safe to assume.
I was just going to clarify that. It was higher, it's degrown to 10 to 15%.
Got it, got it. Okay. Okay. So this 56% degrown volumes are 10 to 15% of our overall export volumes.
Yeah,
currently post degrowth. Yeah.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankit JHP from JHP Securities. Before you go ahead, may we request all participants, a reminder, you may press star and one to ask a question. Mr. Ankit, you can go ahead.
Yeah, thank you again. So can you give me the guidance in terms of revenue for this financial year? Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Hello?
Guidance? If we go as per the trend today, we will be repeating this year's performance, the FY23, based on the current trends. Let's see how the situation emerges as we go along. Our endeavor is to grow further, but let's see how the situation unfolds as we go along.
Okay. Any capex plan?
There are some small capex plans which is already there as part of the debottlenecking and other plans, maintenance, etc. But fresh plans, none as of today. We are under evaluation mode. As and when we come to a situation, we will communicate.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hiten Boricha from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is on the pricing front. As you mentioned, China is like aggressively dumping the prices in the global market. And we can see that in our realization also, because our realization is declining from last 3-4 quarters. But interestingly, when I see your EBITDA margin, it has been increasing from last 3 quarters. So just want to understand this 40 rupees, 42 rupees kind of EBITDA margin will continue in next couple of quarters, assuming, as you mentioned, the pricing are coming down because of the Chinese thing.
Are you comparing from Q1 FY23 or Q2 FY23?
So I'm comparing on Q, like last 2-3 quarters. So in Q4, our EBITDA per kg was around 37 rupees, right?
Okay, that's your derivation. Okay, fine enough. So it is a marginal improvement in EBITDA margins for this quarter. I think we have absolutely increased by about 5 crores if I'm not mistaken. So that is for this quarter on a similar volume trend. What we are more interested is how much of these price corrections happens and how much can be compensated through raw material price corrections also, equal proportionate or more or something is what we are endeavoring for. In case we are able to strike the volume game the way we are aspiring for, we can hope to maintain the EBITDA margins. But it all depends on how the market unfolds, because today is in a complete recession scenario. We don't know. It's little, at this moment, it's quite challenging, at this, at least in the near term. As we move to the subsequent quarter, we will probably get a much more clearer picture.
Okay. And if you can give some pricing actions of what was, as the pricing has been correcting after the exit of Q1, or is it stable? Just want to understand, like.
There have been some corrections in some products, depending on how the pricing aggression has been. So that's the situation.
Oh, okay. Can you quantify that, sir?
that at this point would be too difficult, Hiten, to quantify. Yeah.
Oh, no worries. I'll get back in the queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Chandra Gupta from Who's an Investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. And congrats to Anand for taking over. So my question is slightly different, more strategic or long-term in nature. Can you please articulate what is your vision for now that you have taken over? And you have been here for more than a year now, I think. So, what is it that, we have spoken about doubling the market share and all, but if you were to make a fresh start, what would you aspire for at Nosil? And more specifically, what are the things you would like to change and what are the things that you would not want to change, Something that you can share qualitatively. I'm not asking for any numbers.
Yeah, Chandra Gupta, thank you for that question. Yeah, you rightly already touched upon the point that as a business, we would like to increase our market share. That's more a business-oriented objective. On the other hand, I think some things that I see as a vision is for us to not only be a large domestic player, but be a global rubber chemical player to reckon with. That's a vision. And that means for that, it's not only about volumes, but about the ability to innovate, to be able to deliver products across the world. So there are a lot of other capabilities that we already have, and I look forward to building on those strengths that we already have. I think what we would like to continue, I would definitely say, is the passion and dedication of the team. I think that's something that we would like to continue. And I think what can we do better, if you would like to say, what would I like to change? I'd say we can be bold and brave in the international markets. I think that's something we have the strength and capability to do it. Yeah.
Bold and brave. Yeah, I really like that statement. I don't have any further question, but I'll just leave you with one thought. The way I see it, because I've been a long-term shareholder of the company, we have done extremely well in our chosen field, rubber chemicals. There's no doubt about it. But I see two issues with us presently. One, we are hostage to what China does. And second, we are too exposed to the automobile sector, which is highly cyclical in nature. So there is little that we can do about both these things, even if we double our market share. I mean, I don't think this will change. So I feel we need to take some actions that would mitigate the impact of these two things. And that's where the real value creation in Nosil will happen. That's what I personally feel. So maybe some blue sky thinking, something totally out of the box thinking is what we need to do, and that is what we would expect from you, sir. Yeah, that's all.
Thank you for your feedback, and thank you for your valuable inputs here. Much appreciated. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Bora from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Mr. Abhijit, your line has been unmuted. You can go ahead with your question, sir.
Hello. Well, can you hear me now?
Yes, Abhijit. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to ask on FY24 volume growth. As you mentioned that you will be striking to grow your volumes while maintaining the margins if the pricing environment remains at current level. So any guidance on the volume growth for FY24 and the utilization?
Rajiv, that's a bit of a challenging one to have given the uncertain environment we have. So it would be difficult to put a finger in terms of, or it would be too forward-looking for me to say, exactly this is the volume we will reach. But plans are there to definitely grow the volumes.
Okay. And secondly, this Chinese aggression, how long we expect this to continue for the first half, or given the trend, it can be a longer term thing?
So, it's anybody's guess, but I think at least what experts feel are that second half of the year there should be some kind of life into the Chinese economy, so there should be more, a bit of consumption in the domestic market should go up, so of China, so that's an expectation, Abhijit.
Okay, and lastly, sir, in our both employee cost and other expenses, like what percentage will be a variable cost? Any idea you can throw on that?
Employee cost, these are, yeah, these would be fixed, right? Which one
are you going to do? This is largely fixed, no, nothing variable in that, right?
One second, please. We just kind of...
About 50%.
50% of the other expenses are variable, right?
The other expense.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot for the answering my questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Riddhesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just want to understand, you know, in an environment where there obviously appears to be some amount of overcapacity in China, and that they are being aggressive in terms of pricing. I understand that the need for some of your customers to potentially, you know, diversify away from China, etc. But isn't that going to still lead them to have a higher negotiating power and kind of constrain our prices, which we can charge, even though we can maybe gain some amount of share?
Yeah. Riddhesh, yeah, I think yeah. So the approach is more to build strategic relationships with our customers, and that means they also strategically want to align as us as a supply source. So I think that's more sustainable in the long term. Yeah, there will be those transactional ones which we see with run the risk with pricing with the Chinese and their work capacities. But we are quite positive there is enough opportunity to build strategic relationships. Yeah.
Got understood. And if you just to understand, how should we get a grip about is this overcapacity ultimately going to get absorbed, or how should we be thinking about it? As in, globally, if we look at it, how much of the capacity utilization, is it a demand side issue? Is it a supply side issue? It's obviously going to be extremely specific to products, but if you could maybe outline it for a actually, even like a couple of our larger products, that would be helpful.
Yeah, so again, these capacities from a product to product, again, so it's when we put all the numbers together, it kind of simplifies it, but it again depends on a product to product level, the volumes and the supply and the demand, as well as the competitiveness of each player. While we know that the Chinese demand is still about only 35-40% of the global demand, while 75-80% of capacity sit in China, I would expect, at least some of these the products with lower margins would slowly, capacities in higher cost producing countries could go down further. These are possible scenarios that I foresee. On the other hand, anyway, the overall tire production continues to grow globally, and especially in Asia. So, and the rubber applications also continue to grow. So, there should be an opportunity for the players there. Yeah. Answer your question, because it's kind of a scenario building type of question that you asked.
Yeah, I mean, it did, but. The question was in terms of, I mean, how should we be thinking about how much overcapacity is there right now, and given the growth in Asia on its tires, how long would it take for this capacity to get actually absorbed in your read?
Just to address a little differently, basically, Srinivas here, actually, if you see from, say, 2020 post-COVID, maybe second half of 2020, maybe October, November, what we have been seeing is a high input cost regime, and correspondingly, the finished good prices are getting corrected in line proportionate to the input cost increases or movement in input cost. And this was happening from 20, I would say October, November till 23 May or something. So almost 2.5 years or 2 years something, which essentially indicates that although there are rated capacities on plate, but the achievable capacities or usable capacities are much lower than the rateable capacities. That's the reason why we could see a price corrections happening at regular intervals or price movement in relation to the tandem with the RM input cost movement.
Yeah.
What we are probably seeing now is a Chinese slowdown, which has accelerated the price, aggressive pricing, more particularly at a certain manufacturer's end to destock or whatever you may call it, at their internal things. So, to which I think Anand just addressed it, that it may, whatever we understand, it is more of a temporary nature, maybe till September, maybe till October, maybe we are seeing in the second half some corrections getting done. So, in our view, there could be some excess capacities, but not such a major thing. And in any such restructuring exercises or anything, consolidation phase, what happens is the small players gets out. They are finding it difficult to operate. And moreover, the environment issues now being highlighted at a very high level in the global scale, we see all the small players getting out or getting phased out.
And yes, sir, if we were to look at it, how much of the capacity, and I know it's hard to give an exact number, would be actually the smaller players?
At one point in time, China had 15%, but now it's much lower.
Got it. So already we are seeing somewhat of slowdown. So in the event that some of the smaller players go off, we'd expect there to be some under of a balance between demand and supply in the next, say, the 12 to 18 months or so. We think it would happen, or it would be slightly longer before there's a balance. Because obviously the demand is also growing, right? I'm assuming at the other end.
The demand has a little bit slowed down in this quarter four, actually. If you see January, March 23, if you see from October to December, the rubber consumption has come down by minus 3% or thereabout. So that also has an impact on the demand. So we have to see what is the April-June rubber consumption, then we can take a call, we can probably guess. But we believe this is short-term in nature, these are challenges, and once the domestic economy of China starts improving, these rectifications will happen, or corrections will happen.
Got it. Understood. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ravi Mehta from Deep Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Firstly, just wanted to check that the sampling exercise that we were undertaking, is it done and most of the approvals have come, or it is still going on across certain products, certain clients? Any color?
Yeah, so Ravi, it has been done with quite a few. So again, when you talk about one customer, it's multiple in multiple countries. So even if I would not be able to say it's done with one customer, because we continue to get qualified with different sites and different locations. And that's the case for multiple customers. So it's an ongoing process, and we keep looking to expand our approvals with most of the sites of our customers wherever they are located. That's the whole idea.
So they are present with most of the major tire manufacturers in the world. So where would you be in this journey? Like a 5/10, 7/10? Just a quantity, just a color on that. Yeah.
So I would say it is. We are there with all the tire customers with either one product or the other. I think it's a question of expanding the basket with some of them. I think maybe 4 to 5. Somewhere there. Now that you really put my head on the block.
And one more question was, when I look at your annual report, as per the details shared, the exports had degrown, but the volume degrowth was faster. So which means there was some realization benefit in the export market, and this is little contrary to the, you know, latex volume that we were seeing a degrowth. So ideally even the realization should have fallen more. So there's some dichotomy, if you can explain on that.
Ravi Srinivas here. Basically, during last year, we had a degrowth of 21% in export, but in domestic market, we had a growth of something like 6-7% thereabout. So, on the whole, we had degrowth by 4%. But what was important is that during the first two quarters, that is June 22 and September 22, we had a price corrections, which started from January 22 onwards. And the high price regime helped us to have an overall price increase of 7% for the year. And that helped us to negate all those things.
Okay, so price question was more towards the end. Okay.
Two quarters had a high price regime. If you see the performance of January to March 22 and April to June 22, you had a super high price regime where your profit numbers also were very high.
Okay, but the degrowth in latex part of the business would be faster, right, in the second half?
Yeah, it was there. I think it started from quarter two onwards last year. Quarter one was okay. Quarter two onwards, the degrowth started happening. So that was the thing.
Okay. Maybe I can take it offline. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. V.S. Anand for closing comments.
Thank you. I take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with me or Strategic Growth Advisors or Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you once again and have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of NoSale Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.